Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
How many of you are glad that we're no longer set up in teardown? Can I get my word? God is so good, man. It's just crazy when you, this is contractually is our last Sunday at MB Cook. And the first Sunday that was going to be available for us to be in the new building was next Sunday. I mean, it's just the way the Lord works. His goodness is beyond anything that we can imagine. So there's a lot to do over there. Like we said, we're going to be actually over there this afternoon from about 3 to 7. If you want to come and help, we're going to be ripping out bushes. They have a Serenity Prayer Garden. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. But that's not staying at this time. And a lot of figurines. And we'll edit this part out of this thing. But I asked them the other day, I said, look, there's a few things in here that we can't move. We can't just throw them out. I said, okay, that's fine. And, a couple of these little bushes, and there's this one little scrubby, thorn bush that was just, like, kind of on the ground, like, not, I guess it's a rose bush, you know, just looks like a pile of thorns. And he was like, we can't just throw that away. I said, okay, no problem, because there's all these little, like, plaques in front of the signs and birds and, angels and stuff like that in memory of all these people. And they're like, that's in memory of one of our pastors that we had. I said, oh, man. I said, when did he pass away? And I said, no, he's still living. He pastors up in Montgomery. And I was like, wait a minute. First of all, I got a couple issues with this. One, this guy is still alive. Two, no one's ever planted the bush for me anywhere. As far as I know, there's no bushes with any signs that say in memory of, well, I guess it's kind of good because people think I died. That's the last thing I need is a rumor about my death. But it was really funny. So it's a phenomenal facility. I can't wait for you to see it because really one of the things that's great about having a permanent spot like this is we've said from the very beginning, and we continue to believe it, is that there is a spot for everybody at Legacy House. If you're in the room today and this is your first time here, we have those Connect cards on the seats that you can fill out and turn in. We'd love to get to know you, but it's not just about getting to know you. It's about, we believe that if God has led you to this place, then there is ministry for you in this place. So here in this room or here in this ministry that God is building, it's not just about taking up room or breathing air or being present, but it's about understanding that I have a gift to give. Like, you were created with a gift to give, not just as someone who is a consumer of life, a consumer of the oxygen around them, but you were created to be a giver. Like, the Bible says that freely you have received, so freely you give. Like, it's in your flesh to hold on to, but it's in your spirit to just let some things go. And so as we really transition into this next season, it was kind of weird. We were talking about last night, getting ready for bed or whatever we were doing, and we were sitting in the bathroom talking. And I said, it's kind of sad. Like, it was kind of sad when we moved from the Gene and Paul Amos Performance Studio. It's like, that was cool, but that building was just really hard to work with. It was great, but it was just hard to work with. And then here's been awesome, but I just like, man, it's kind of sad. And then in every season, even if you know what's around the corner, I mean, like, the growth that we're going to experience inside of this building will be unlike anything that we've imagined. Why? For a lot of reasons. One is because it's hard sometimes for people to find a temporary space. If you don't see those couple signs that are out by 12th Avenue on a Sunday morning, then you don't know Legacy House not super meets here unless you're on social media. And for whatever reason, a lot of people in Pensacola are not super down with social media. Guys, it's 2018. Let's step it up. Get you an Instagram and a Facebook page and, post something. We want to see your face every now and then. We want to see. Like, don't let people food shame you about you shouldn't post what you eat. Post whatever you want. Just get on there, for Pete's sakes, okay? Like, if you think your kale is super cool, like, post that, all right? I'll post my cheeseburger, you post yours, and we'll see who's actually people want more. But it's important because, for us, like, if you've thought about this, there's no building that anybody can drive by in Pensacola and see the name Legacy House at any point in the day. The only time they can do it is on a Sunday morning if they drive past this. Other than that, there is not a spot. that people can see it. We have about 2-3 hours a week that there is physical signage somewhere in this city. So for us, there's a lot of things that this changes. There's a lot of things that this is going to be amazing with. We're going to have our own signage. We're going to have our own building. We're going to have our own kids' spaces. We have facilities for people to do stuff during the week. There's playgrounds for moms to come and dads to come and to bring their kids and to hang out. It's just, it's one thing after another. So say all that to say, you've got to see it. We'll be up there this afternoon and then the next afternoon and the next afternoon and the next afternoon, and because we got a lot of work to do to make it look like Legacy House between now and next Sunday. So anyways, if you got your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to go this morning. Like we said, a lot of people have been dealing with sickness, and our girls were sick, and then Bethany got sick, and it's been a lot over the last few weeks. I know I was talking to a couple people this morning who have family who are either sick or about to feel like they're getting sick or on the back end of it one way or the other. So let's be in prayer for all those people in our body and our family who are struggling with that, especially people with young babies and little kids. It's difficult. It's one thing for you to be sick. It's another thing to have sick kids. Like, it's another level of, like, work and exhaustion. So anyways, Matthew chapter 7, we won't go down that road today. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." It says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Of course not. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask them?" Like, we can just put a pin in it just for a second right there. Like, I love that thought. We don't have to question today whether or not God knows and or wants to give us good gifts. God knows and wants to give us good gifts. He's saying, look, if we, as sinful people, as fleshly individuals, those who are still overcoming our flesh, if we know to give our kids what they need when they need it, they're sick, they need medicine, they need rest, how much more does our Heavenly Father know the good gifts that we need? Verse 12, it says, "Do to others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and in the prophets." Verse 13, it says, "You can't enter God's kingdom, but only through a narrow gate. It says, the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you that your word is true. God, that your promises, Lord, are yes and amen, that you've never failed us, that you've never left us, that you've never kept us in the dark. But Lord, today, you are walking with us hand in hand, Lord, into this new season. Lord, I pray that you just bless this new building. God, I pray that you bless this new season for us as a church. Lord, I pray that it'd be a great season of health and life and growth inside of our body, that, Lord, you would just continue doing what you're doing. And in Jesus' name pray, amen and amen. Matthew chapter 7 is a great verse, like most of them are. But Matthew chapter 7 is phenomenal. I've always liked that first section of verses there in Matthew 7:7, where it says, "Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. Keep on asking," or "keep on praying and it will be given to you." And I love it because it says that anyone who seeks finds, anyone who asks receives, anyone who knocks, and it's open. And it's this, really, this hope-filled moment. And we're not just going to stay right here in verse 7 and 8, but we want to look really even beyond this, because I think for all of us in every season, as we transition from one point to the other. We as a church are in the season of transition. Now, you've probably been to a church before where they've talked about transition, and that transition has apparently lasted 3 and 4 years, and they're always in the season of transition, and we're always almost into our breakthrough, but we're never quite there. If we serve a little bit more, if we give a little bit more, if we cry a little bit more, then and only then will we get to our breakthrough. No, look, hey. Transition isn't something that has no end date. It's not something that just never ceases, never stops, never ends. The Bible says that he's taking us, you know, from season to season, but it's not that we're ever, or that we're continually unsettled. You have to understand this. Let's just hang with me on this. Is that in our lives, all of us will always feel slightly discontent with the life that we live. Why? We'll feel slightly discontent with the life that we live because the life that you were created for is not this life here on earth.
You weren't created to live this life here on earth. You were created as a spiritual body, as a spiritual being, to be in relationship with God. Therefore, earth is just a temporary dwelling until we get to spend eternity with Him. So as our hearts and as our souls long for eternity, we'll always feel slightly discontent here on earth. But the Bible makes it clear here to us. It says, look, it says, if you keep on asking, you receive what you ask for. If you keep on seeking, you will find. If you keep on knocking, the door will be open to you. And everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Now, here's the good thing, is that it says that we will receive the things that we're seeking after. But it doesn't just say, knock once and the door will be opened. It doesn't just say, ask one time and God will grant every answer to every question you've ever had. It doesn't just say, hey, look for like 5 or 10 minutes, and if you don't find it, just give up and buy another one. Like, no, like it is a keep on mentality that you see here in the scripture. And I think for all of us today, man, as we dive into this and as we end our Do Not Resuscitate series that we've been doing all through the month of January, I think one of the things that we have to allow to die in our life is the willingness and the possibility of quitting. You don't have to quit. You don't ever have to quit. There's never a moment in your life that you have to give up. If there's breath in your lungs and there's blood flowing through your veins, then you don't have to quit. But in our lives, a lot of times we do quit. I've quit. I've quit on relationships. I've quit on friendships. I've quit on jobs. I've quit on dreams. I've quit on stuff in my life before. And the only reason that I quit was because I didn't see what I wanted to see when I wanted to see it. Because I had somehow determined in my brain that it was going to come at this time and in this moment. It was going to be like a countdown to an event I could set on my phone, and I could watch that clock and those days count down. And when the time was supposed to be there, it would be there. But I've experienced a lot of moments, just like I know you have as well, where the time ran out and the clock got to zero in my brain and in my expectations, and God was nowhere to be found. It was me standing at a due date thinking, all right, God, this is not what I had planned. Like, how many times have we said that to the Lord before? Lord, I didn't think it was going to go like this. He's like, all right, cool. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's completely irrelevant to who He is and His divine nature, how we felt like it was going to go. But I didn't think it was going to be like this. Sorry. Like, you know what I mean? Can you imagine? Like, I would love to be able to like actively hear or watch God respond to people's prayers. You know what I mean? Like, God, I never would have thought. Okay, God has to have an amazing sense of humor. A, because look at some of us. But then beyond that, He has to have an amazing sense of humor, because inside of all of our brains and inside of all of our lives, He allows us to be the type of people who even though we might not see it, if we can just hang on a little bit long, if we can just keep going a little bit further, then we can get to the place inside of our lives where now He moves. If we knock and we keep on knocking, the door will be open. But really what this is telling me as we look at this, and how do we allow some things to die? How do we allow the desire to quit, the pattern of quitting, to die in our life? The first thing that I think we have to do is I think that we have to keep praying. Your Bible, it might say in this section of verses here, it says in mine above verse 7, effective prayer. That's all that it says, is effective prayer. Effective prayer is continual prayer. It's really all that it is. It's not some mysterious, cloaked thing of like, what is effective prayer? And we have some sort of like ethereal like debate about it. You know, it's funny because when we were in youth ministry for a long time, we oversaw the young adult ministry as well. And I can't tell you how many young adults wanted to have Bible studies where they just got together and like, we just want to like discuss things. Like, we're going to set up, we're going to get together, and we're just going to share our opinions. The problem about that is that probably 9 out of 10 have the wrong opinion. But then everybody sits around and they're like, well, this is good, this is interesting, like, you know, what's going on here? But like, all of a sudden, what you have to begin to see is that it's not just about my opinion. It's not just about my feeling. It's not just about my thought. But really what it's about is it's about the determination that I'm going to just keep praying. I'm gonna just keep praying. Like, for you today, my hope and my prayer for you is this, is that if for us to allow the flesh elements of who we are in our life to begin to die, for us to allow that desire, the repetition, the continual moments for us for where we quit. Like, how many of us have gotten really fired up about church before, but then, like, that fire has died out a few months later? It's because we knocked a couple times. Look, I showed up. I texted the pastor. He never texted me back. So, you know, how many texts do I got to get till I get one back? Keep on texting. Text and the door will be open to you. I don't text back great. I turned on my read receipts. So you can have, if you have an iPhone, you'll see when I opened it up. And I did that to keep myself accountable because I don't want to let you down. So sometimes if you see, I realize that someone, I missed a couple meetings in a row where I was like, hey man, like I'll say it on Sunday. There's a million things going on. I'm like, dude, let's get up for breakfast tomorrow. And then I got a couple texts from like, hey man, I'm here. Are you coming? And I'm like, your pajamas. I don't wear pajamas. Like, that felt a little childish to say pajamas. Like, my underoos, whatever it is. Remember those at Walmart? It's like the matching underwear and t-shirt combo. Anyways, it's the good life. But I missed a couple meetings where I was like, I'm right down the road. Like, that's for the longest time why I set a lot of my meetings at the Waffle House at 9th and Langley, because I could go from unclothed to clothed and there in about 5 to 6 minutes. So I'm like, brother, I'm right around the corner. You're twins. You know, like, that's when you have twins. Just insert that in any statement. They're like, yeah, I get it. Like, totally, you're bad. They had nothing to do with being perfect angels. Like, haven't said anything all morning. Like, twins. Like, I get it. He's late. It's the girl's fault. It's them. Like, poor, precious little, like, angel babies. Like, not doing anything. But in those moments for us, like, we've experienced that where we get fired up and passionate and amped and like, woo, like, this is going to be awesome. Like, we're going to MB Cook. This is going to be great. Oh, snap. We're going to a new building. This is going to be great. And like, we get really amped up. But if we don't see God move in the time that we want to see him move, we quit. And we can think that it's everything else and we can think that it's everybody else. But 9.5 times out of 10, it's me. 9.5 times out of 10, it's me. It's because somewhere along the line, I just stopped praying. Yeah. Just stopped praying. There's power in your prayer. Amen. There's power in praying and in asking God, like, God, what do you have for me today? Like, let's don't, please, especially as we go into this next season as a church, let's do not underestimate the value and the power of prayer. We deserve nothing. He desires to give us everything. Like, as a person, none of us deserve any of this. But God in his grace has given it to us. There's just got to be something that rises up inside of all of us that says, you know what? I've knocked once, and I'm going to keep on knocking. I've been the person and I've seen the people who wait till someone knocks on their door, then they'll go. I knock for no one. But once you knock, if you want me, then you will come and pursue me. No, it doesn't work like that with the Lord. It doesn't work like that with the Lord where it's like, well, you know, if you really want me to do this, then you will find me where I am. He's already found you. He already knows the hairs on your head. He doesn't have to find you. He doesn't have to run after you. He doesn't have to, like, he is with you. Whether you are with him, he is with you. Amen. The question is, in our lives, have we allowed a lack of prayer, a lack of seeking, a lack of asking, a lack of knocking to help us or to cause us to forget who he actually is? God is so good that he gave us a building that wasn't for lease with an existing congregation. For the same exact price that we're paying for all of this, the only additional that we have is utilities. Wow. To like, yeah. Like. Yeah. But here's the backside of this story. The conversation started with that church 16 months ago. The door was shut 16 months ago. And then the door was shut again about 8 months ago. And we knew that our contract was coming to a close here at MB Cook, and we asked a couple people to pray, and one of the guys who prayed, he said, look, he said, I just feel like we're supposed to call Cokesbury again. So we called him again. I would have never called Cokesbury if that guy would have said, hey, I think we should call Cokesbury. I wouldn't have done it. Why? Because we'd knocked. We'd knocked twice. My Lord. I mean, how many times? Twice. I've extended myself. Like... Like where the guy is dealing with forgiveness and like forgiving a debt. He's like, Lord, how many times do you want me to forgive him? Like, I forgave him once already. It's like, well, we've knocked like twice. And gee, my hand's getting tired. Like, you know what I mean? Like my parents, to punish me as a kid, spanking never really did anything for me. Like I was like, nah, I don't get it. Like, so my parents used to make me write sentences. And so, like, I used to have to write sentences about, like, me being a horrible person. Not really. But, like, I would, you know, to heirs, like, when I, and they evolved as I got older. When I was older, it was to heirs, to human, to forgive as divine. It is most unfortunate that my father is not divine, but maybe I should not have erred. That was my, at least starts 500 times. Yeah, so, yeah, I've got, like, my hand just immediately starts moving that way. Like, I understand. But here's the thing. We knocked again. Building still wasn't for lease. Building still, nothing had changed. There was no sign up front. It wasn't on the commercial MLS. But something happened. We've said it before, and it's so true. And like, hopefully this can be an example to you of this, is that sometimes it can be the right thing, but the wrong season, therefore not making it right for right now. Yeah. That building was going to be our building 16 months ago. Amen. It was always going to be ours. The problem was 16 months ago wasn't the right season for me to walk through that door. We weren't ready to walk through that door as a church at the time. Maybe we weren't established enough. Maybe our finances, I don't know. I don't know what the reason was. I just know God did not open the door. So we just kept on knocking and God eventually opened the door. And it's like, this is the principle of our lives. Like, take this on a micro level to who we are as individuals. Where is the areas inside of all of our hearts that we've knocked a couple times and we gave up because no one answered? Well, they're just not home. No, just keep knocking, because if it's the dream God has placed in your heart, and if the road keeps leading you back to that spot, maybe it's not just a coincidence, and maybe you're just not crazy. Maybe it's simply the fact that it's just not the right season. It's not because, like, we don't keep knocking simply for the fact that, like, we don't keep knocking just because we want to. And it's not because God is trying to dangle a carrot out in front of us that we can never quite attain and get to. It's the persistence to know that in the right moment and in the right season, I will be ready to walk through that door. Look, this is going to be the most unique building in our entire city. I'm just telling you it is right now. It's going to blow people's minds. Like, it really is. And I'm not just saying that. I'm just telling you it is. We're receiving text messages and phone calls from friends of ours around the country who are seeing it, who are amped. And the cool thing is that we have this ability to bring a modern element into a traditional building. There's something about that building when you walk inside of it. Like, there just is. It's because it's like, you know how, like, you've got your favorite pants? Like, that are wet, like, really broken in, but kind of make your spouse uncomfortable. Like, they don't want you to wear them around other people or in public because they're just, like, ratty and, like, falling apart. And, like maybe the elastic's blown completely out of the waist, so they're, like, always falling down. Like, you have those things, like, those shoes, the shirt, the hat that you have that's, I have a couple hats that are just absolutely nasty. But they just fit like butter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, probably because the sweat has formed them to a rock hard, you know, it's more like a helmet at this point. Like, a drop it and just clang. Anyway, sorry, it's gross. But it's like, it's comfortable. It's well worn. You can walk through the doors of this building and hopefully, you know, you'll come see it this week and help us. We need your help. Not just like, oh, I'm going to pray for them while they're over there. No, you are us and we are you. So join us. Pray while you're there. But we, you know, you walk in the room and you can, A, it smells like every grandparents' church that you've ever been to in your entire life. Like, oof, it smells that. We used to have this retirement community that was right up by our church in Austin, and it was called Sun City. And our pastor referred to it as as heaven's waiting room, because all these people had just moved there to die. Sad. And then he said, I'm going to go up to heaven's waiting room for a little bit. We all knew he was going to Sun City. I know, it's sad. Sorry. None of us are guaranteed. None of us know the day or moment. Anyways, it smells like your grandma's church. But the problem is that, like, when you walk in, like, you can tell and you can feel the prayers that people have prayed. That's the truth. You know, we were talking about it the other night. It's like, you know, marriages have been healed in this building. Yeah. People have come to Christ in this building. Yeah. They've had depth in their walk and relationship with the Lord. They've experienced forgiveness and healing. Like, we had a guy I met the other day who was looking at some of the pianos up there, and he works at Blues Angel Music, and his daughter now, I think he's just 21 or 22, and he's like, she went to preschool here. Like, and everybody who I've talked to says the same thing, like, man, this used to really be a bustling campus. And it did. You can tell. But it hasn't for a long time. And I'm excited because we, first of all, have the honor, but then we have the opportunity to bring life and to breathe life back into a campus that is ready for that. Okay, let me give you the second thing. The second thing is this. Down in verse 12 says, do to others what you'd like them to do. This is the essence that is taught in the law and the prophets. I love the fact that this is what they're saying the Old Testament is about. Before you say the Old Testament isn't for you, in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, this is what the Old Testament is. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. The second thing I want you to write down is this. It says, live like you were never hurt. Live like you were never hurt. The greatest way that you can stop the quitting pattern of your life is to just live like you were never hurt. You were hurt. Okay, now what? You were betrayed. Okay, now what? Someone was rude to you. Okay, now what? You felt like you were overlooked. Okay, now what? Is that the badge that you want to be known by? Is that the MO that you want to be known by? The overlooked guy who's just always frustrated. I get overlooked everywhere I go. Maybe because people don't want to make direct eye contact because you get so angry. They're like, are you going to look at me? Like, I don't know. Like, what's the matter with you? Like, bad. Just met you. Like, calm down, bro. Like, take a break. Like, breathe a little bit. Like, because we've worn it as a badge. And it becomes our identity. And it becomes a part of our nature where we're now, I am the hurt that I've experienced. I am oppressed. I am depressed. I am rejected. And so every environment that we walk into, we carry that with us. When they see us, they see rejection. When they see us, they see distance. When they see us, they see hurt. And for something has got to break inside of us, because I believe that for all of us today, if we want to receive that type of love, then we've got to begin to give that type of love. Before we can ever act or ask to receive, we have to be willing to give. Like, before we can ever say, God, I have to have this from you. Like, are we giving that away with that same passion and fervor to somebody else? Like, is somebody else being blessed and touched and impacted by the intensity in which we love them? Look, we don't have to create a target demographic for who we're trying to reach as a church. We just have to be the church. Because then what happens is that diversity just naturally happens. Why? Because Christ is love, and therefore through him and from him comes love to young and to old, to every race, every gender, every background. He is love. And so that love begins to flow through us, and that's why Jesus told his disciples that they will know you by your love. And so as long as we continue to be hurt and wounded, they'll never know us by our love. They'll only know us by our pain. They'll only know us by our rejection. They'll only know us by our wound. And like, why does everybody like treat me like I'm wounded? Because that's all we're showing people. This is the homework for the week. Think of the thing that you want from God or you want from your relationships. Won't take long, because it's typically in the forefront of all of our minds. For 1 week, give that to everyone and anyone. You want to be listened to? Listen to everybody. You want to be respected? Then respect everyone. And watch the shift that begins to happen in your life. Because now all of a sudden, the thing that you wanted to receive, you're giving away, and then you're going to find fulfillment not in just the fact that you're giving it back. You're not giving to get. You're giving because you're gracious. It's the same reason we tithe. I love what Josh was saying this morning. Like, we give not because like we have to. We don't give out of pressure. We don't even give out of emotion. We give because we want to see God continue to move. We want to continue to see God work and move. And like, we're not nice because we feel like it. If I waited to be nice and not sarcastic, if I waited until I felt like not being sarcastic any longer, I would always be sarcastic. Our flesh always wants to rise to the top. Our flesh always wants to rise to the top. But as long as we allow it to dominate and control our life, that's all that we'll ever receive back from anybody. You ever heard? You ever met somebody who's actually kind of mean and kind of rude, but they always complain about how people are mean and rude to them? It's like, bro, people are in a fight or flight mode with you. Like, they're just trying to survive. Like, you say crazy things to them, you're like, that's, I'm funny like that. They're like, no, you're an idiot. Like, so they're saying things right back to you. Why? It's because you are just receiving what you're getting. Why do people always betray me? Why are you always betraying people? Why do people always leave me? Why are you always leaving people? Well, don't talk about me. But that's the problem, though. The Bible makes it clear. It says this is the essence not of the gospel. It doesn't say this is the essence of Jesus. It says this is the essence of the law and the prophets. Saying this is Old Testament here. Like, look, I'm going to take you back to where this came from. And it says that if you want to give this, if you want to be this, if you want to have this, then it's got to freely flow from you both ways. Psalms 119, I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to flip over there for the sake of time, but I'm going to read this to you in verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've promised it once and I'll promise it again. I like obey your righteous regulations. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love the fact that I know it's a little bit like almost of an old school thought and process, but what I don't want to lose sight of is the fact that like if we talked about this last week, I think it's all blending together with this building and babies being sick. But we all have our farm that we filled. I mean, our field that we farm. There it is. We all have our field that we farm. Our area that God has given us. In Psalms 119, you ever like, now, you know, it used to be in 1987 that if you went to a concert, they would hold up a lighter. Now there's regulations, so everybody holds up their iPhones, right? And it's like, oh, you see this beautiful crowd of people with their iPhones held up in the air. But the reality is that in our 2018 terms, like if his word is a lamp into our feet and a light to our path, it's like the flashlight on our cell phone. Is that I can see a little bit in front of me, and I can see the close proximity to me, but I can't see everything. You ever been to a concert and like, hold your cell phones up there, turn on your flashlights? And like, if just one guy held his up, like it really wouldn't make that big of an impact. Like, thanks, man. Like it's just one guy. Like he's holding up his light. It's like, oh man, this is really powerful. That one light. No. But then when everybody turns theirs on, then you can, where it's not from just illuminating a small area to illuminating an entire area. Where it's not just my space that's lit up, that's where all of our spaces are being lit up. That when my light is paired with your light and your light is paired with the person's next to you light, then this one little tiny light on the back of a cell phone device can all of a sudden light up arenas. Why? It's because we're all doing the same thing in conjunction. So for us to be the type of people who understand his lamp is a light into our feet, his word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, then what that has to let me know is that if I'm going to die to this desire to quit, then I have to be led by his word. I have to be led by his word. Because when I'm led by his word and you're led by his word and the person next to you is led by his word, then all of a sudden what we begin to do is we can begin to make a far greater impact than just me as the pastor holding up a light being like, guys, I promise you this will be great. Because then what can happen is it puts all of us in the position of skeptics. Well, let's see what his light can do. Let's see what it can do. All right, I've been here for a while, and you know, it's okay. But what really are we doing? The question has to be shown right back on us. Okay, well, where's your light? I'm responsible for mine. That's it. Crazy. It'd make you really uncomfortable. I just came and grabbed you. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, not even if there's anything crazy on your phone, you're just like, I don't really like that. Like, why? It's because it's yours. It's mine. It's my property. It's mine. It has my contacts. My people are contained inside of this. The ones I know, the people I can reach. Your numbers aren't in my phone. My numbers aren't in your phone. So as simple as this little thing is, it immediately connects me to the people who I have influence with. It's my light. And for all of us in here today, the light that we have is not just biblically the word of God being led by the word, but it's then a willingness to use what we have. What have you been given? What is the light that you have? It goes down in Matthew chapter 7 there, and it says that verse 13, it says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gates are wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very easy, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. The band can come back at this time, and we're going to close, but, you know, it's an interesting verse when you really stop to think about it. Because it's talking about salvation here. It's talking about eternity here. It's talking about heaven. It says, narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way. Your translation might say easy is the way. Broad and easy is the way that leads to destruction. If you go on down to verse 14, it says, but the gateway to life is narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. The impossible situations of our life are the moments where we see God's specialty come to fruition. God specializes in the impossible. Like, he specializes in the difficult. He specializes in the doctor's report that says there is no hope. He lives for that. Like, what is the thing that you live for, right? Like, you know, your moment, your area, your thing that you live for. I love church strategy. I just love it. It's like anything. It's just a thing for me. Like, I love, why do people do the things they do? Why do churches do the things they do? You might apply that in your business field. I apply that in the church world. I love it. I love the strategy. Like, that's my spot. We could talk about it forever. I might not be that good at it, but I love it. And when I find myself in that place, like, it's it. It is that sweet spot. And when we're there, like, I'm not scared by it. I'm not run off by it. God is that with our most difficult situation. God is that in our most hopeless moment. In our most desperate, difficult, distant moment, he is that. He's the person who says, look, you're like, I don't know where to turn. He's like, great, perfect, perfect. Because this is the moment that I can now intervene. This is the moment that I can now step in and I can now see God move in a powerful way. The last thing, the fourth thing is this. Just simple. Take the road less traveled. We as a church are determined to do that. If it's ordinary or average, I really don't have any time for it. Not for the sake of just trying to make things difficult. It's just because ordinary and average really isn't really doing much. If average was doing it, we would be killing it. If it was just being a church was enough, then our city would have been saved 3 decades ago. Because there's a church, I mean, you can throw a rock from here and hit 3 or 4. Like, there's a church on every corner. It's not just simply being a church that's a problem. Look, the victory is not ours because we have a building. Like, the victory isn't ours because we have a building. Woo, we made it. Time to coast. Heck no. Like, we will take a 5-gallon thing of kerosene and burn that mug to the ground before we coast. Make sure our insurance policy is up today. I gotta talk to Mr. Rodney after this. But like, look, hey, the truth here is our salvation and our hope is not found in a building. It's a tool. It's a method. It's no more valuable than a speaker. It's just a piece of the puzzle that goes along with all of this that we begin to see God move in power and might. Look, we've got a responsibility to let something begin to stir on the inside of us that says, you know what? I am going to take the road less traveled. Let me tell you what that road looks like. It looks like this. It looks like a voice that's willing to tell somebody about what God is doing in your life. The average, ordinary, easy way is for somebody to say, hey man, what's different in your life? You're like, I don't know. I'm about to get my refund, so I don't know. I mean, that's pretty good. I'm feeling good about it. No, God is moving in your life. We've got to be the type of people that every single week we leave this place thinking of people in our brains who say, you know what, this person, they need to be here. It's not message specific. It's not series specific. It's about what God is doing in you. But here's the problem. If God's not doing anything in you, then there's nothing to give away. That's why for us to begin to see God move, we have to lean into him and say, Lord, I'm going to keep on knocking and I'm going to keep on asking and I'm going to keep on seeking after you. And I believe that if I do all of those things, God, the doors will open in the right time and in the right season. I'm not going to give up just because I don't see it opening right now. I'm not going to just quit or pout because I might not have what I want right now. But God, I believe that if I keep holding on and hang on, you're going to move. Man, it is time for some of us to stop just receiving. We hate the idea of consumerism in our society, but yet we practice consumerism inside of the church. We want to come and receive and like give me what I need for my day and my life, but we never want to give it away. We instantly become a stagnant individual because we're a swamp. Stuff comes in, but it never flows out. And it gets stagnant and it gets dry and it gets tired and it gets moldy and it gets, these rooms are like that. You'll see that when you walk through this building. There's some rooms that have mildew on the walls. And it's like, why does it have mildew on the walls? Because there's been no life in these rooms. It's empty, it's set there, it's quiet. But for us to do this, man, it's gotta be something that stirs inside of your bones. Like, it's gotta be something that like just causes you to stay awake. Look, this isn't about like, Christianity was never about the staff position. Christianity was about us learning how can we accomplish and achieve the most with what we've been given, which is you and me, that's it. Look, let me take the sleepless nights for the buildings that we're gonna be in. Let me shoulder the burden for what are we gonna do with kids' spaces. Let us toss and turn about what's the right and most cost-efficient flooring option for these rooms. Let us negotiate, you know, what do we not touch these sacred altars and make sure that, you know, we wear our gloves and the Levites go out first with the trumpet as we move it. I was like, that's like, let me bear that burden. I'm built for this. I just need you to be your light. That's it. I don't need you to be me. I don't need you to be the person next to me. I just need you to be you. If you play, then play. If you sing, then sing. If you create, then create. If you're organized and administrative, then organize and administrate. If you paint, get your little holster, come this afternoon, do some brush tricks, paint the wall, do whatever you got. Like, you can show off. But like, just be you. But I can promise you what you're not. You were not created to be inactive. You weren't created to be an observer.
No, I don't know.
What are you talking about? No. You were created to do something. I, in the midst of everything going on this week, as we get ready for next Sunday, I challenge you with this. Think of a few people. I don't care how many you want to think of. Think of as many as you want. Think of a few people that you can invite with you next Sunday. I'm very expectant for our service next Sunday. Not just from an attendance standpoint. We'll have people. I have people who. It's my. You always have people who left a long time ago. Like, you know, the Holy Spirit told me that it was my season to return now. It's like, oh, because I'm not set up in town anymore. No, the Holy Spirit. No, it's okay. Let's just cut through the, you know. They'll be there. It's fine. They can be there. We'll sit in the front. But the reality is that in every season, I see the fulfillment of what it means for us to be Legacy House. And even the fulfillment of legacies that weren't ours that we started. Even inside of this building. I didn't start this thing. I didn't build this thing. I didn't pay for the architect to draw up these plans. I didn't have to do site surveys. I didn't have to pour the foundation on this. I didn't have to get mad at the 75-year-old woman who made sure that the carpet was red. I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to do that. But we do get to walk in. And we do get to continue what God has done in that place. Why? Because it's somehow built into our bones. It's who we are.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.